Continuing our series of Finding Jesus Under the Sea. And this week, the theme animal is sea turtles. Now, sea turtles are really kind of fascinating. They are the same as they were during dinosaur ages, and they live almost their entire life in the ocean. In fact, the males do live their entire life in the ocean. The females show up every once in a while when it's time to lay eggs. They can grow up to 6.5 feet long and 2,000 pounds. That's a big old turtle. And sea turtles are very unique in the way they give birth to their young. Every year, the female sea turtles crawl up on land to lay their eggs, and they dig this big hole, and they lay their eggs, and they very carefully cover the eggs with sand and pat it, and they have it in the tall grass, so that keeps their eggs from danger. And then the moms go back out to sea. Now, when the baby turtles hatch, they've got to fight their way through the sand and then make their way to the sea. And all the birds and all the fish are timed with the turtle hatching. Have you seen it on Discovery Channel, the little baby turtles going like that to the sea? And they get picked off and picked off and picked off and picked off. Now, the sea turtle is a great parent to the eggs. But where's mom when the baby hatches? Where's mom when the baby has to make the dangerous trek to the sand of the surf? Where's mom when the baby enters the ocean and then becomes easy pickings for other predators? And where's dad in any of this? Some people think that God is like a sea turtle parent. Yes, he created us. Yes, he gave us this world to live in. But doesn't it seem sometimes that when the going gets tough, we seem to cry out, "Where are you?" In today's scripture, Jesus' disciples had a moment of panic. They found themselves in a very dangerous situation, and they cry out, "Jesus, where are you?" Now, this was early in Jesus' ministry. He had just called the 12, but already he had performed some miracles. Already he was defying the Jewish authorities. Clearly, there's something amazingly different about him. He's been preaching all day along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and now it's evening, and Jesus wants to get to the other side, maybe to hit the ground running in the morning. He has work to do, and so they all get into the boat, and a bunch of other boats follow them, and then Jesus falls asleep. Now, this has nothing to do with the message, but I found this an interesting fact. This is the only place in the Bible that it mentions that Jesus slept. Isn't that interesting? Y'all are going to be pouring through your Bibles trying to prove me wrong. Go for it. Anything to get you guys in the Word. As happens so frequently, a violent storm blows up. And the Sea of Galilee is notorious for its dangerous storms. And back then, there was no benefits of life jackets or fiberglass hulls or the weather radar. And the disciples were terrified. They woke Jesus up. "Don't you care about us? We're about to die here." The disciples knew how dangerous a storm at sea could be. Many of them were fishermen. Many of them had probably lost friends to the sea in storms just like the one that had just struck their boat. They felt as helpless as the baby sea turtles, just trying to make it off the beach before a seagull picked them off. And Jesus calms the storm. When bad things happen, people always ask, "Where was God? Why did God let this happen? If God really loved us, why couldn't he stop this from happening?" Now, this scripture is more often than not used to tell folks that Jesus is nearer to those who believe in him, and we don't need to be afraid of anything because he will be with us. There's always four bullet points to these sermons. One, storms will come. Two, Jesus will be with us in the storm. Three, Jesus will calm the storm. Four, it is only in the storm that we really know who Jesus is. But to me, that's not the reality in our lives. And I think maybe something else is happening here. I don't believe this passage is so much about how God is always with us, but more It's a lesson on what true faith looks like. Four typical bullet points. Storms will come. Jesus will be with us in the storm. Jesus will calm the storm. It's only in the storm that we really know who Jesus is. The first one's right. Storms will come in our lives. Sometimes one after the other after the other. Some of you right now are in the middle of a life storm that feels very much like you're never going to get out of it. Your boat's going to get rocked, and it's going to be swamped forever, and there's a really good chance that you're going to sink. Storms will come, and being a Christ follower does not mean ever that you're going to avoid some very serious problems in your life. In fact, sometimes being a Christ follower puts you right smack in the middle of a storm. Look at what happened with the disciples. It wasn't as if one of them said, "Hey, Jesus, I know. Let's get going now and go over there, and why don't you just come along with us?" We do that. We believe in God. We believe in his son, Jesus. Then we go off and do something we know we shouldn't. Something we know is going to mess up our relationships, our health, our finances, and we take Jesus right along with us, sort of our safety net. If anything goes wrong, we'll just wake him up and have him take care of it. But Jesus doesn't have any desire at all to climb into our boats. What he wants us to do is to get into his boat and have the faith to journey with him. No matter what. Jesus, fully human, fully God, he had his disciples get into that boat that night on the Sea of Galilee. This is the same Jesus who was there when all of creation was blown into existence. This is the Jesus who's the Lord of the universe. Do you think for 1 minute he didn't know there was going to be a storm? And that he was telling his followers to sail right into it. Why? Sometimes Jesus needs to remind us we're not in control. Right before this voyage, Jesus had spent the day preaching and talking about growing the kingdom and the work that needs to be done. Jesus needed these disciples to know, guys, things are about to get really crazy. Things are about to get really dangerous. There are lost people to find. There is kingdom building to do. There are seeds to be planted in a hostile environment. Jesus needed the disciples to trust him even when it got scary. Our Bible is full of stories of people God leads into a storm, people who trusted him. Moses stands at the edge of the Red Sea, the armies of Egypt behind him and the unforgiving waters in front of him, and he takes his staff and he slams it onto the waters and the waters part. David faces off a giant who's a trained warrior and who has killed much bigger men than him, and David swings his sling around his head a few times and drops that giant with a stone. Daniel stands bravely in a lion's den, calmly facing hungry, ferocious Christian-eaten lions without a touch of fear. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tell the king that they will not bow down to his golden idol, and they get marched into the fiery furnace. I'd love to go back in time and watch Moses at the Red Sea or stand beside David as he felled Goliath. Go, David! Or spend the night with Daniel in the lion's den. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Or walk with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Who has the marshmallows? That would be awesome. Because I know what happens. They didn't. They had no idea how things were going to play out. But they trusted God. And they knew that if God was asking them to get in the boat, to face a storm, they trusted and had faith that God had a reason for it, and they would be obedient and have faith no matter what was going to happen. Which leads us to bullet point number two. Jesus will be with us in the storm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is truth. Jesus will be with us in the storm. But he doesn't always jump in right away. Sometimes he lies back in the stern of the boat on that pillow and waits to see what we're going to do. Are we going to trust the plan? Or are we going to panic? I choose panic. Every single time. Sometimes I'll check it pretty quickly. Sometimes my imagination, I have the best imagination, takes over and I get myself all worked up. For instance, at the beginning of my relationship with Keith, I was an avid Reader's Digest reader. My favorite stories were the stories about the animals. Now, Keith could count on me most nights either reading him a recipe he had no desire to eat, or reading an animal story out of Reader's Digest and not being able to finish because I would be sobbing, because they were always touching. So I read him this story one night about a hunter who was never going to hunt again because he was duck hunting and he shot his shotgun and he went to retrieve his prey. I might cry even now. Isn't that funny? And this was 20 years ago. And he sees laying, this is the story I'm telling Keith while he was watching television. The female duck is laying there dead. And the male duck, with its last breaths, crawls to its mate. And beak to beak, he dies. Isn't that the saddest story you ever heard? And I'm sure Keith's answer was always, So, fast forward a few weeks later, a few months later, it was long enough for me to sort of have forgotten about that story. I called Keith on a Friday night at work and I said, hey, let's have a party tonight. And he said, I'm busy, and he hangs up. Okay, so this is my imagination. Here comes the storm. I decide that he no longer loves me. He's gonna leave me. I'm gonna be alone for the rest of my life. My life is ruined. And by the time I got home that night, I had cried all the way home because Keith was leaving me. On the table is a bouquet of flowers that looks not unlike my wedding bouquet, wildflowers tied with a purple ribbon, and next to it a card that says, I love you, and on the outside of the card is a picture of a female and male duck lying bill to bill. Now, perhaps that morning when the wave started getting bigger and bigger and the rain started getting harder and harder, when my storm started to rise, if I had called out to Jesus right then, if I'd right then asked the Holy Spirit for some guidance, I could have avoided the panic of that storm. Because I know during the whole incident, I know Jesus absolutely was with me. I just didn't see him because I wasn't looking for him. Now I realize this storm was not a real one, but at the time I believed it was. The feelings of fear of losing the man I love were real to me. The despair was real. The panic was real. Jesus with me was real. And he probably thinks I'm a goof sometimes. But he hasn't tossed me out of his boat yet. But bullet point number three, that's where we get it wrong. Bullet point number three says, Jesus will calm the storm. Jesus will calm the storm. Sometimes he doesn't. Here's what a storm in your life does not mean. It does not mean that God doesn't love you. It does not mean that God's angry with you. Sometimes the storms that happen in our lives are self-made. Sometimes it's just that storms happen. And trying to analyze why they happen or to assign blame is fruitless. We live in a fallen world. And Jesus himself said, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, good and bad happens to everyone. The most important thing is whether or not we're prepared for them. Following Jesus is not a guarantee. He'll calm your storms. Sometimes he does. We cry out to him and he settles things down. Sometimes we cry out to him and he wraps his arms tightly around us, comforting us until the storm passes. Not calming the storm, but calming us, but still allowing us to go through it. But sometimes we cry out and we succumb to the storm. And I can't tell you why that is. No one can, but sometimes the storms in our lives are over and they leave behind absolute and total destruction. And it's then that Jesus enters the picture. I would love to join some of my colleagues and preach to you that Jesus will calm every storm, but I think that's a lie. Sometimes we don't make it out unscathed like the disciples did. This weekend, or this past week, a terrible storm has blown through West Virginia. Over 36 or so people have lost their lives. And I believe that at least some of them, while the raging water sucked them under and their lungs strained for air, I'm sure some of them cried out, Jesus, where are you? And their storm wasn't calmed. And their loved ones were left behind to cry out like the disciples, where were you? Don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? I'm so lonely. My marriage is failing. My child is in trouble. I have cancer. I lost my job. I can't pay my bills. My boss is abusive. My car is shot. I've lost my home. I've lost my marriage. I've lost my health. I've lost everything. Jesus, wake up. Don't you care about me? I won't ever tell you that Jesus will keep you out of the storms of life. But this, I promise you, Jesus does care. Jesus cared enough to leave heaven and walk among us and work for 3 hard years to show us how to love. He cared enough to teach us about God. He cared enough to leave his spirit with us as a comfort, as a guide, and as an encouragement. He cared enough to die for us. He cared enough to die for you. Jesus cares. And here's the last bullet point. It's only in the storm that we really know who Jesus is. It's only in the storm we really know who Jesus is. The disciples were afraid during the storm. But after Jesus told it to quiet down, they were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. A couple of boys were staying overnight with their grandmother. They went to bed. And the grandmother, as she was getting ready for bed, heard them in there, goofing off, getting in and out of bed. She hollered at them a couple times, get to bed and be quiet. It's late. They weren't listening to her. So she went in the bathroom and she got prepared for bed. She washed off her makeup, took out her teeth, put her hair back in a towel, put on an old bathrobe, took off her glasses, and went marching in the boys' room and said, I told you to knock it off. It's late. It is time for bed. They scurried in the bed. They got under the covers. They were quiet immediately. And as she left the room, one of the boys said, who in the world was that? This is what happened with the disciples. Who is this? Now, they may not have known fully who Jesus was, but they knew he was divine. And suddenly, their concerns about the storm dwarfed in insignificance. Now, they feared for their spiritual lives because here they were, sinful human beings in the presence of the Holy God. The same thing had happened to Peter when Jesus told him to put his boat out into deep water and let down his nets to catch some fish. Peter said, "Oh, we fished all night. We haven't gotten anything, but I'll do it anyway." And when he did, he got so many fish that his nets were breaking and his boat was sinking. Peter saw a miraculous haul of fish, but that was the last thing on his mind, because seeing the holy, almighty God before him, he fell to his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Sometimes it's in the middle of the storms of our lives when we truly understand who Jesus is. The disciples thought they were afraid before. Now they were afraid of, they are terrified of Jesus. It's one thing to be in the boat with someone you believe has been sent from God to be a great teacher and spiritual leader. It's quite another thing to be confined in a small space with God. Your knees give way, you begin to tremble, you find it difficult to breathe, your insides are shaking, you cannot stop. Throughout Mark's gospel, the disciples and many others kept coming to these new understandings of who Jesus is. And it was always in the context of some crisis. And that's true for us as well. We keep meeting Jesus in new ways as we meet him in new crisis. We don't really understand who he is. We don't really understand his power until we see him in action. Peter said, "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." It was terrible to be blind, but the blind man could not see who Jesus was until he was healed. The deaf man could not hear Jesus until his ears were opened. The lame man could not leap and dance for his master until he encountered Jesus. Thomas was devastated by the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, and everything seemed futile and depressing and over. And then Thomas experienced Jesus in a whole new way when he placed his finger in Jesus' hands and sighed. He fell down crying, "My Lord and my God." It's in crisis moments that we really understand who Jesus is. If you place your complete faith and trust in Jesus, you will have a better understanding of him, a deeper relationship with him, a new love for him. Once the storm is over, you will see his power over darkness and his depth of love for you. Jesus is telling us to live by faith, not by fear. Storms will come. Jesus will always be with us in the storms. Jesus can and sometimes does calm our storms. Sometimes he doesn't. It's often in crisis that we fully realize just who this Jesus is. And then one last thing. We have his spirit, his very spirit, the Holy Spirit, living within us as counselor, guide, advocate. It's the Holy Spirit that equips us to be ready for these storms, to shore up our faith before the winds start to blow, so that when we do face crises, we aren't as afraid, and our faith isn't as shaken. After Hurricane Andrew, the camera from the news crew panned the area where there was complete devastation and debris, an entire beach community wiped out, One lone house remained standing. The owner was cleaning up the yard, and the reporter approached him and said, "Sir, why is your house the only one still standing? How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" And the man said, "I built this house myself. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to the code could withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. It could be no one else around me here followed the code." This was a man who understood that storms were coming. It had nothing to do with him. It was about the area in which he lived and the nature of his storms. His job was to be prepared. When the sun was shining and the skies were blue, it may have seemed foolish to put extra expense and trouble into building a hurricane-proof house, but when the hurricane came, it was anything but foolish. The important thing is not trying to understand all the various reasons why storms come. The important thing is to be prepared for them. We have the code book. It's called the Bible. We have the Master Builder, and His Holy Spirit will give us the plans. We don't need to know why we have to face the storms in our lives. We like to know. We don't need to know. Sometimes we can look back and we know it's because we screwed up. Sometimes the evil in this world draws us in. Sometimes Jesus sends us in. But through prayer, worship, fellowship with other believers, we can prepare ourselves ahead of time to perhaps withstand some of the assault. Jesus loves you. He doesn't want bad things to happen to you. He's absolutely bigger than anything you're facing. But sometimes you still have to face it. Sometimes He'll calm the storm. Sometimes He'll calm you. Sometimes He just holds on to you as you go through it. Sometimes your only course of action is to curl up with Him in the stern of the boat and see if He'll share His pillow with you. Jesus hurts with you. He weeps for and with you. He wants the best for you. He doesn't want to see you get hurt. He loves you. But He's still God. He's still in control. He is still Lord of the universe. Nothing happens without His permission. As His followers, we need to remember that having faith means getting in His boat, taking a journey with Him as the navigator, trusting His plan no matter what. And even in the midst of the storms that will come, we need to stay focused on the One who's bigger, badder, and more powerful than any storm that will come your way. Amen.